Greetings, planet Earth. Hello and welcome to an extra special episode of Imagine Cup TV. I'm John Scott Tynes, the program lead for Microsoft Imagine Cup.
And I'm Gwen Zalabegi, technical evangelist on the Channel 9 team.
Awesome.
And it is a jam-packed episode.
It definitely is.
I mean, the longest episode we might possibly ever have.
Oh yeah, and it's going to feel like it.
It's going to feel long.
And we're here to talk about all of the amazing teams from Imagine Cup who have now been chosen by our international panel of judges to be our world finals teams that are going to come here to Redmond at the end of July.
Yeah, John. Yeah. Been talking too much this week? Is that what's going on?
I need coffee.
The semifinals are happening in all those different regions. It's huge events happening. Everyone's really excited. And we just found out who's coming here.
Yep, it's pretty sweet. And actually, who's that over there, by the way?
Oh, Kate, that's Kate. Kate, can you hear us? Are you there?
Hello, Golnes, John, I am here.
So Kate, what do you say you do around here?
Well, I do a lot of things. I'm a web reporter, and I'm also a tech reporter, and that's always a lot of fun. And I've also worked for this lovely Microsoft Corporation that you've heard so much about, within gaming as well as technology in and of itself. And I'm also going to be helping to host the Imagine Cup World Finals. Toot, toot.
You're the host. That is awesome. That is so great. Are you excited about this?
This was my I should have warned you. This is my excited motion. Woo, woo. That's better than toot, toot. But yes, I am excited, John. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, we're really excited.
Totally excited.
You bumped the brakes. It's a little bit too much energy coming from you guys, so. But yes, I'm very excited, and I'm excited to see all of the participants and hear more about Imagine Cup World Finals.
I'm excited, yeah. Good job, Kate.
It's going to be sweet. That's awesome. Well, let's get on with it. So Kate's going to be introducing some special guests here in just a minute. But first, we're going to talk a bit about the Imagine Cup Partner Awards.
Yes.
So this year for World Semifinals, we had a bunch of teams who are actually going to win prizes right now, not even have to come to Seattle for it. They just have already won, which is pretty great. And let's start with the Visual Studio Online Boost. So,
oh, I remember this when we announced it. Yeah,
that's right.
And I was like, everyone uses Visual Studio Online. It's the thing to do.
It is pretty sweet.
Cool. So
managing your coding project and bug tracking, sprint tracking, all that kind of agile development stuff is pretty awesome.
Instead of using Post-its on a wall.
Yeah.
I did this and moved the Post-it over here.
I've been to game studios where their bug tracking system was a whiteboard.
Yeah.
And like, God forbid, like leans
better.
Up against it.
Yeah. This is much better.
Yeah.
So exactly. Good job on using it.
Yeah. So these nine teams, three from each of our categories of games, innovation, and world citizenship, each of these teams won $1,000 for using Visual Studio Online to build their Imagine Cup project.
Awesome.
And we've got Greece, Algeria, Lebanon, Slovakia, Germany, Uganda, Uruguay, Kenya, and Israel.
Oh,
congratulations,
God,
to all those
so
teams.
So many people from around the world. This
it is pretty
crazy.
Awesome.
That's awesome, though. Good job.
Yeah, it's sweet. And then the Skype Award. This is a really exciting thing.
I don't think we talked about the Skype Award.
Oh, I can't remember now.
You probably wrote a blog post or something,
probably did.
But you didn't tell me about it.
I'm always blogging about
stuff. What's going on with this one?
So our friends at Skype offered this award, and so they came up with three categories for our Magic Cup teams. Learning and education, driving social impact, and innovation and collaboration. And each team of our Magic Cup students in World Semifinals actually friended us in Skype and then sent us a video message,
nice.
Like a 3-minute little video, where they talked about, you know, how they use Skype in their project or to collaborate or to make their project better and so forth. And then these three teams are the ones that our friends at Skype chose. And
wow.
So we've got
$5,000
for each team. It's pretty great.
That's awesome. So you got South Africa, Nepal, and Australia.
That's right. Yeah. Code Buzzers won learning education. Team Inemia won driving social impact. And the Super Sea Dragons.
Super Sea Dragons.
One of my very favorite team names this year, actually.
Yeah.
Good work, guys.
Good guys.
Won the Innovate and Collaborate category.
Cool.
So we're super excited for these folks. These guys each won $5,000 from Skype. And I look forward to seeing them online.
Don't spend it all in one place.
All right. Coming up next. So one of our big contests this year is the Windows and Windows Phone Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about
this. I remember this
one.
That's right.
And so this is a project to build an app both for Windows and for Windows Phone in collaboration with someone in your community, mm-hmm. like a charity or even like a cafe or a band or any organization in your area. And the winning team here, Team Pomato Apps from Venezuela, has won $5,000 and a trip to Microsoft. They're going to come out here during World Finals and meet the Windows and Windows Phone team, talk about their project, get some tips and tricks on how to improve it. It's pretty great.
That's a great, great prize, actually.
Yeah, it's a score. And these guys, what these guys did, they made an app in collaboration with actually with some of the police and security people in Venezuela, so that if you're in trouble and you need help, then this app gives you a way to do that, to actually reach out and get help, transfer your location, that kind of stuff. It's a great public safety kind of project.
Yeah, that's awesome. Instead of texting 911.
That's right. It actually
much more advanced than
that. Oh yeah, totally.
Way more features than
totally.
Text help 911.
That's right.
I feel like that won't be enough information, yeah. But I'm sure this is way better.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
It's pretty slick.
Cool.
All right, and then moving on. So let's talk about the games competition. So one of our three big competitions this year, we're going to have a bunch of games teams come to Seattle, and we're about to meet those folks. And to help us talk about the games category
I know what it is.
Who is it?
Andrew Parsons.
Is it Andrew Parsons?
I think it's Andrew Parsons.
Okay, let's see.
He's like the most knowledgeable the games guy in Magica.
That's right, exactly.
But yeah, Kate knows more about this.
Okay, let's hear.
Hey guys, we've got Andrew Parsons. I would say one of the more popular guys at Imagine Cup.
Well, thank you.
Not just because of your ravishing good looks here, but also because you are somebody with an intimate knowledge of gaming and the industry. And you're also a part of something called LEX. Explain to me what that is.
So LEX stands for Learning Experiences. Mm-hmm. And Learning Experiences is a group within Microsoft that specializes in providing education for technologists. So for you guys, all the students out there, mm-hmm. We provide Microsoft Virtual Academy and a bunch of other things that allow you to get free training in Visual Studio and our Windows platform and all the other bits and pieces to enable you to make even better games.
I'd say a good guy to know.
So these are our top teams for the game competition?
These are some of them, yeah. So this is four teams who all made platformers, which is one of the most common and popular and actually lately innovative areas of gaming. So who we got here?
We got Team Beaumont from Korea. So the game's called Underbed, and it's about this girl. She goes under her bed and plays with dust bunnies and stuff. And I do not want to go under my bed, so I'll play this game instead.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Team Brainy Studio from Russia. Actually, they were the winner for the games competition in Russia a year ago.
Oh.
And I met them in Moscow and met those guys and played their game Witchcraft, which was pretty cool. They're back this year, and they made it all the way to Seattle this time with their new game, Turn On, which is about like a citywide electrical system. It's kind of a puzzle and platforming
cool.
game. It's pretty cool stuff.
Very nice. And then we got Liaison Team from Brazil,
mm-hmm.
and their team name or their game name is Liaison, and it's about a boy and a dog.
I know.
And who doesn't love that relationship?
Exactly, I agree. And Team New Age from Jamaica with Project Exit, which is literally a game about trying to find the exit, which happens to me every day when I go to work in my building.
Where's the exit?
Yeah, I have no idea where anything is.
Yeah.
Cool. So these games are all platformers of different kinds, and this has been a really interesting area in games recently. So so Kate and Andrew Parsons have a few words to say on the subject.
I think it's pretty safe to say that in the games category, there is an overarching theme.
Platformers.
Tell me a little bit about why they become such a hotbed for innovation.
Platformers are a classic genre, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think all of us grew up with platformers.
Yeah.
And as technology has evolved, it's made the platformer style very, very easy to do, mm-hmm. very, very easy to implement. It's a very known structure. You usually run from left to right. You know, you're jumping over things,
yeah.
avoiding obstacles, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that allows the game developer to actually be even more creative with mm-hmm. other bits and pieces. So we've seen some stuff in the last few years. I think going back, three or four now, we're mm-hmm. looking at Limbo and Braid.
Mm.
But some of the more recent stuff that we're seeing, Max and the Curse of Brotherhood on Xbox One mm-hmm. is a great example of, let's innovate from the platformer genre and add even more things, more complexity. And it's because of that base structure mm-hmm. that allows them to actually, really innovate.
Okay, and then here's two projects that are kind of fall more into the sort of core gaming sort
hardcore
of area.
Hardcore gaming.
That's right, exactly. Like Halo and Call of Duty and so forth. So, but these games are pretty detailed, complex projects, but really nifty. So, Team Genesis from Greece with their RPG Dementia: Tales of Blackthorn Manor. And not only are they going to the Imagine Cup World Finals, they are also one of the winners of the Visual Online Boost, and so they're receiving $1,000 now for that.
Ooh,
for that work.
Very cool. And France, we got France in there.
Representing.
They represent France. And it's and our team with their game Anarchute. And it's a really cute game about a riot.
It is a really cute game about a riot.
It's a really cute game about a riot. You control the rioters, but it's cute.
It is adorable.
It's cute. It's pretty. But it's hardcore, too, because it's a hardcore game.
That's right.
Yes. Very nice.
And actually, NR Team's project is a real-time strategy game, and Kate and Andrew have a few words to say about that.
Oh.
Real-time strategy games have come a long way since Warcraft.
Look, I loved Warcraft.
It is it is one of those games that everybody has an opinion on and everybody has an experience with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what is happening in that genre these days that people should, students specifically, should maybe pay attention to?
Well, I think this is going to be an easy one for me.
Yes,
right?
Bring it.
The number one played game in the world is League of Legends. Right, by far, like by an order of magnitude over the next one, right? And the next one is World of Tanks, right? So if you've played World of Tanks, you know how popular that is.
I love that game.
Tens of millions of people.
Okay.
League of Legends is the next layer up. And League of Legends is, at its core, a real-time strategy game. Mm-hmm. But what they've done is actually, they've constrained the battlefield even more so. And so you've got a very rigid structure, and people are really buying into that. So, you know, that's one thing that I would really say to young game developers is, don't just, you know, think you need to add on stuff. Mm-hmm. Think about how to change a genre in a way that makes it a little bit different to what other people have experienced. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Riot guys did with League of Legends, so.
All right, now we got casual games.
Yeah, these are our last four games teams for World Finals. And starting off, we got Team Spotlight Games from Germany with Mr. Sky Jump. This is a jump and run game where you're kind of, you know, in the air doing crazy stuff. And it's a very social game. It's great. You can play it with friends, against friends. Like, it's a nice sort of nice approach to gaming that way.
Yeah. Then we got Team Animus from the Philippines with Fit Pals. And this one is a Kinect for kids to work out. Who doesn't
awesome.
Want to work out with Kinect?
I know. Well, you know, and like my daughter, 6 years old, like she is nonstop movement. Just like
exactly.
all the time.
So now give her organized movement.
That's right. She'd be into it. Team Seven Summits from India with their game Petite. This is a puzzle game, like a touchscreen kind of mobile app sort of game. That's very abstract, very kind of artsy, and it's about the life of a woman and all of her emotions and feelings as she progresses through different stages. It's a pretty cool game.
Nice.
Very high concept.
Then we got Team Illogic from Egypt. Puppy in Bubble.
And what is this game about?
I think it's a puppy in a bubble.
Awesome.
And it's a puzzle game and more elaborate than a puppy in a bubble. But the name says it all, so that's really cool. I like when the name describes the game.
It does, totally. It's a great job.
All right.
And actually, this reminds me, so we wanted to talk to Kate and Andrew some more about these kind of touch-based puzzle games we're seeing some examples of here have also been a big deal lately, and they had a few words to say on the subject, folks.
Abstract puzzle games, mobile. Why is it so hot?
Well, puzzle games have always been hot. They're a very simple structure. Mm-hmm. We're talking about things like Tetris, right? Mm-hmm. Going all the way back to the original. And for some of you watching, you know, you'll remember that we had the creator of Tetris as a judge just a couple of years ago. But these days, what game developers can do is they can take advantage of all the new ways of interacting with the game. So, touch. Big game changer with puzzles, right? You can physically move things around, you can swipe in and out, you can zoom, you can do all sorts of stuff. But then take it the next step further and look at things like Kinect and stuff, where you can actually really use natural user interface to evolve the way puzzles can be interacted with. And I think that's why puzzles are really making a big comeback right now.
Plus, I just like doing them on the bus.
That is a really, really good...
Mobile! Andrew, thank you so much for being here.
No worries.
I'm excited to see what you think of the finals this year, and I know you guys are too.
Cool. Thanks.
So our next up, we're going to cover the World Citizenship category, and we have actually another guest to speak for this, who is, I'll let Kate introduce him right now, actually.
I'm not going to lie to you, I'm very excited because he's bringing a great energy to us. This is Akhtar Bacha, and he's the Senior Director of Citizenship and World Affairs for Microsoft, which basically means you are an expert in the tech for good sphere, yes?
That is correct. Thank you very much, Kate. I'm very pleased to be here.
Let's talk about this first group of World Citizenship teams. These are projects that all kind of had the theme of accessibility and making the world and making technology more available to people that might have challenges with mobility or speech or vision or other issues.
Yeah.
And so who we got here?
Oh, the first team, we have Team Access Earth from Ireland, and their app is called Access Earth. And it's a map, and it kind of tells you where, if a building is accessible, if it has like a wheelchair ramp and all that stuff. So really useful.
That's
people
cool.
with disabilities.
That's awesome. Team Amplifiers from Pakistan, their project AMP provides a way to use your phone kind of to diagnose and address hearing issues, including for very young kids, which is pretty cool.
Nice. And then we got Team Barfu from Serbia, and it's Sonochrome. So this one's the music matches colors, so it's for blind people who can't see colors. So what you can do instead is hear the music, so the sound or this music will match red, so then you can hear music. It's kind of cool.
That's
experimental,
really cool.
It's a little out there, I love it.
Yeah, that's great. And then finally in this area, we've got Team Power of Vision from Poland with their project Face Controller, which allows you to use your face to control a computer.
Perfect.
Like you can like head gestures and so forth.
I love that.
So like if you don't have full use of your hands, for example, you can use your other parts of your body to make.
I mean, I'll be like on my phone, and I want my computer to do something too. So I'd love to just be like wink at it, and Netflix will launch or something. Okay, this is not for lazy people.
So yeah, I don't think that's
the
idea.
People. But okay.
But I mean.
That's what I would use.
But you do need help. I think we can all agree on that.
Okay, all right.
And actually, accessibility is a big issue for technology and for mobility and so forth. I believe Kate and Akhtar have a few things to say about this.
Okay, so Akhtar, we've had several different projects that have to do with accessibility, especially when it comes to people that are impaired visually, hearing loss or motor skills, motor functions. Can you tell me a little bit about worldwide how well technology is basically addressing these kind of physical challenges for people?
So if, we have seen the video and the ad that we showed at the Super Bowl, it starts off with Steve Gleason, the ex-New Orleans Saints football player with ALS, and using the Surface to talk. It's actually also the way he communicates, but he also motorizes it with his wheelchair. And I was actually with his family last Thursday and talking to them about how it was doing, and they need some more support around how to create more technology usage with using our Surface for other ALS clients. So clearly accessibility is becoming a major issue, right? With our technology today, the blind can see, the people with hearing loss can hear, and we've seen all of that play a fascinating role. It becomes even more appropriate when we start talking about developing countries, because it allows you to leapfrog. You can actually leapfrog with technology, and what we are seeing with our Imagine Cup entrance is that young people are actually figuring out how they can use this technology, whether it is mobile technology or whether it is a handheld device or a tablet, to write apps that also then uses some of our other technology, which is the Kinect, to combine the two so people with disabilities can actually, become much more productive in this society.
So our next three projects are in the realm of medical diagnosis. Have you been sick recently, Farlaz?
Oh, I get sick all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Always catch a cold.
Is it like
hurt my back?
Oh, really?
Like an old lady. I'm falling apart over here.
I believe it. This is why you need face controller.
Exactly.
So our first project here is Team Inemia from Australia, and their project is Inemia. And they're an app that actually you can take a picture of your eye with your Windows phone, and it will diagnose whether you are suffering from anemia, like lack of iron in the blood and so forth, which is pretty cool.
From a picture of your eye?
Word.
That's technology right there.
And they also are a winner of our $5,000 Skype award for the Driving Social Impact category, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Then there's a team from Nigeria, Team High Rise, and their app is called Katara, and it's to take a picture, just like the other one, of your eye. And you can see if you have early stages of cataract.
They
won the Visual Studio Online Boost Challenge.
$4,000.
$4,000.
That is
awesome. So they're already winners.
It is true. All these folks are already winners. And finally, in this area, we've got Team Afrigile Tech from Uganda with their project MDEX, which essentially you snap a little lens onto your phone and take a picture of a blood sample, and it will diagnose sickle cell.
Wow.
Which is pretty slick.
Technology these days, man.
I know. And actually, our Tech for Good expert, Akhtar, has a few words to say on the subject.
And now you said something interesting, which was mobility in developing countries. And the next question I have is kind of around medical diagnosis concepts. Okay. And basically, I know last year, the winner for citizenship was actually from Portugal, and it was all about diagnosing somebody's blood type in the field, and that was a very big thing.
Right.
I guess the question is, what has technology done for field diagnostics and field testing in this kind of realm?
So a couple of solutions, right? So I mean, two of our winners from previous years, one is from Uganda, which is using a pin horn, which is just a little horn that you use to put on the woman's belly to hear fetal sounds, monitor the fetal heartbeat. They connected it with a smartphone app, and now that monitoring becomes much more accurate. And by making it much more accurate, you can actually provide it to, you know, midwives in villages where they can actually monitor, and if they find any irregularity, the woman can be rushed to the nearest clinic. So that's just one improvement, and it costs very little. Same thing with our Australian friends who actually used a stethoscope and connected it to a smartphone for bronchitis. Now the issue with heartbeat monitoring is that you really need to have, with the stethoscope, doctors that are extremely proficient, because bronchitis doesn't give you too much of, you know, you're monitoring, your heartbeat remains the same. So with a computer attached to a stethoscope or a smartphone attached to a stethoscope, you can actually get much better readings. It's the highest cause of death in the developing world, right? So now you can cut that down. Again, a $30 machine that can do wonders. So there's just all sorts of usage. And I think what the Imagine Cup has done is unleash this creativity at a very low end, with all people being able to participate, because all they need is simple technology, the imagination, and then the ability to write code.
Very nice, very nice. All right, so we got three more teams.
Yep, so these three are in the area of physical therapy of different kinds and helping people with technology to get better at their life as they're recovering from illnesses and neurological problems and so forth.
Very cool. So we got the first team.
Yep, so Team Smart Crew from Taiwan, their project Versatility of Usins, which is a project to help someone recovering from a stroke or neurological problem gain back their physical mobility over time. So this is a whole regimen approach where they're tracking your treatment and progress over time, communicating with your therapist. It's kind of meant to help to orchestrate and supervise your whole program.
Very nice. And then Team SMT from Romania, S-Milestone. This app is to help people who've lost the ability to talk. So if you have had a stroke or anything like that with a muscle issue, it's to help work out those muscles and get you talking again.
That's pretty sweet.
Because everyone knows I love to talk. And if I couldn't talk, I'd be really sad.
I agree.
So I'm glad there's a solution for it.
If I couldn't hear your dulcet tones every 3 weeks, I don't know what I would do. And our last project here in this group is Team The Dianes from Portugal with their project Nuada. This is a combination of hardware and software that actually can detect, diagnose, and help you recover from issues with your hands.
Nice.
So it actually can kind of measure how your hand is doing as you regain strength and control over time and give you the exercises you need to rebuild that, that confidence.
Oh, cool. Like it. I need my hands to
Well, yeah, no doubt. And physical therapy is a great area for technology because of all of the diagnostics it can do and tracking over time and so forth. And I'd love to hear what Kate and Akhtar have to say.
One last theme that I wanted to touch on was sort of people that are recovering from neurological problems and how big of a challenge that could be, especially in a developing country. So how has technology impacted those people's recovery, especially when they don't have access to a local modern hospital?
Just take gaming. Gaming is just one very simple example of simple games is allowing people to recover faster. Right? So if you use a Kinect and you get people to exercise by waving their arms and imitating something on the screen, and you put some sort of a reward system on it, it suddenly becomes a game. And that allows people to start exercising, especially people that have come out with neurological problems and you need to get their mobility to increase, and you know, you're trying to get them to move, and it suddenly translates what is an exercise, which can be actually quite challenging. And also, you know, it is also hard, right? It is painful.
Sure.
So when you convert that into something that is more gamified, it actually becomes much more interesting. Mm-hmm. Then the other thing that we are seeing is that in many of these applications that are being developed, they're connecting different patients to each other, mm-hmm. so that they become a support group. And they're trying to work with each other to do this, right? So other people are keeping track of it. Hey, did you do this? Did you not do this? Mm-hmm. How many points did you get? I got that many points. Now, the question is that clearly some of this needs to get out into the more rural locations where mm-hmm. you can do. But mm-hmm. in any world, whether it is the developed world or the developing world, we are seeing that with technology, the connection that people have to get them motivated increases dramatically.
Thanks, Akhtar. Very cool, very interesting. And so related to physical therapy is actually social therapy. Mm-hmm. And this is a team, I copy you from Qatar, and their project.
You're pronouncing it wrong.
Oh,
it's Qatar.
Is that what's
that? Nassim had a long talk with me about it one day.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because I said Qatar or Qatar, and then Larry would say Qatar, and then Nassim would say it the right way because he speaks Arabic.
Right.
So we're both just doing it wrong. But anyhow, carry on.
Okay, excellent. And their project is a mimicking robot for autistic children. Mm-hmm. So these are children on various degrees of the autism spectrum. And this is a little robot that actually mimics their movements
wow.
and begins to form that kind of a connection with the kids to help them begin to kind of get more focused and be able to relate to other people better.
Wow. Awesome.
It's very cool.
Cool.
So our last couple teams in World Citizenship are a couple different projects. So the first one from China.
Team Imagine the World, Persephone. And it's to help people in a natural disaster like an earthquake, help get help over there.
That's awesome. And Team Grant Fellow from USA is a website that consolidates information about grants that can be provided to nonprofit organizations and help them to apply for them, find them, and track their progress through the application.
Awesome stuff.
And that's World Citizenship. Some great Tech for Good projects there. Can't wait to see those in person this July.
Yeah. The last category, innovation.
Innovation.
Yes.
That is right. This is where we see a lot of different stuff, mm-hmm. like social projects and then some kind of crazy stuff. And it's a really interesting category
yeah,
this
yeah.
year.
And Kate's got Raul.
Yes, sure. Indeed. Let's learn who our guest is.
I'm glad you asked. Raul Sood of Microsoft Ventures.
Yes, indeed.
Now, practically speaking, I do want to know, tell me a little bit about why you like seeing what's coming down the line with the Imagine Cup participants. You talked about student entrepreneurship. Why
yeah.
do you say that?
Well, I mean, entrepreneurship is starting out at, it's going earlier and earlier every year. I mean, you know, we're seeing entrepreneurs emerge at the age of like 8, 9 years old now, right?
Wow.
And for us, the Imagine Cup is a great way for us to discover, you know, fledgling entrepreneurs who could eventually build a great business, and we can help them be successful, help them build that business and scale it. And so the Imagine Cup is just such a great way for us to get a view of what's happening around the world, you know, with entrepreneurs around the world, because every ecosystem is different and they all think differently. But at the end of the day, they all want to solve local problems, and we want to get an idea of what kind of problems they're solving and how they think about solving those problems.
So our first set of teams in the innovation category all did projects that are kind of in the realm of social, broadly defined. And so first off, we've got Team Kazu Kogurumi from Japan.
Ooh, you said that really nice.
Well,
I would have butchered that name.
I've been practicing probably incorrectly, but you know, do what we can around here at Imagine Cup.
Nice.
And their project is, I love this idea. So it's a video conferencing between, like, let's say a grandparent and a grandchild in different cities. But at the grandparent's end, they've got a webcam on a laptop or whatever, but they also have a Kinect. And at the child's end, there is literally a robotic teddy bear, which the grandparent kind of puppeteers with Kinect, like, you know, hello, and the voice comes out to the teddy bear, and the teddy bear has a camera,
that's
like in the eye or whatever.
Cute.
I know, it's adorable. Like, I love this project.
That's precious.
That's really fun.
All right.
And then New Zealand, what's
New
that?
New Zealand, Team Meep, and the app is called Meep.
It is
like,
called
like
Meep.
Like meat. But Meep.
Oh.
So you're trying to meet up with your friends, basically. It's like a GPS tracker on your friends.
So
when you're all trying to meet at a bar or restaurant, and like, where's Billy Bob? He's running late. You can launch Meep and find him.
Do you have a friend named Billy Bob?
Of course I have a friend named Billy Bob. That's you don't have a friend named Billy Bob?
I don't think I do these days.
Goldilocks and Billy Bob. We hang out. Very cool app.
You fight crime.
Yeah.
And finally, Team Vanguard from the UK, and their project Ripple is a location-based social network. So if you're at a concert or something, and then with this app, you and all the people who are at the same event can all be sharing, you know, photographs and comments and so forth, just kind of ad hoc on the fly.
Nice.
Which sounds pretty cool.
I'm like surprised there's not an app like that that's really popular right now already.
I agree. There
Good
should be.
Good thinking.
Yes, indeed.
Filling in the gaps.
Team
of social.
Vanguard.
Yeah.
And speaking of social, our friend Raul and Kate have a few words to say.
So social networking has obviously exploded and then splintered. This year we've got projects that deal with temporary location-based
right.
networks. We've got GPS location on your friends. We have the teleconferencing teddy bears, as I have been calling them. What are you seeing in today's social landscape that you think students should really pay attention to?
You know, this is a hard question. I mean, clearly everything is becoming social. So, you know, as things become more social, the need for privacy is actually lower. I mean, you know, kids these days, they just don't care about privacy, right? And they don't know, you know, when you take a photo that there's geotagging on the photo, they know where you live and all of that stuff. So privacy is becoming less of an issue because they don't care. And security is becoming more of an issue because they don't know yet why they need security. So security is a massive issue. And then in the areas of social, there's things like, you know, cyberbullying and like online dating and all of that stuff that just needs to, you know, we need to address and we need to think about how do we deal with that sort of stuff. You know, cyberbullying is a horrible thing, but you know, the world is a much smaller place with social. And so we have to think about what are the big problem spaces that will happen when you have access to everybody in the world at any given time, right? And that would be in areas of like security, you know, online dating is a big problem. So you know, there's so much happening in social that you really just have to look at those big problem spaces and figure out what it is you want to solve and go do it.
Okay, awesome, very useful information. The next category we have is learning and nutrition. The first team is Flipped UI, it's from Uruguay, and their app is like a learning center, just kind of like MBA.
Yeah,
like
online classroom.
Yeah,
that's
very
awesome.
Cool.
And they also won $1,000 in the Visual Studio Online Boost, which is sweet.
Yes.
Team Chemicalium, I guess I might say, Chemicalium from Bosnia and Herzegovina. So this is a really cool project for school kids in a classroom where each kid has a phone, and their phone represents one chemical or element. And when they tap the phones together, in the cloud, it forms a compound,
wow.
and it'll report back to you like, oh, you just made salt, or whatever it is.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's really neat. Yeah, it's a fun way to explore chemistry in a classroom and kind of a group setting.
Nice. This one's Team Reverse from Italy. Their app's really cool. It's like you go to a building, or an old history building in Italy, and it was a... It's like a rundown building, but let's say they've remodeled it or something nowadays. So what you can do is you point your phone at the building and you see present time, and you can swipe through and see the older, the historical time.
Like you're traveling in time.
Yeah, very cool for tourists.
That's pretty sweet.
Ooh.
And then Team Food and Gram from Venezuela with their project Food and Gram. Actually, you can take a photograph of food and it will tell you nutritional information, recipe ideas, so like you're in the grocery store looking at broccoli or something, it'll help you find, you know, what to do with this stuff. So it's a great concept for nutrition.
I'm going to find like a really exotic fruit and stump the app. Take a picture of this fruit. What is that fruit? You know, they've got those weird fruits out there.
The message is going to be like, put it down right now. It's dangerous.
It looks dangerous.
That's right.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So these kind of learning projects and online learning, like Team Flipped and their project, it's really neat stuff. And actually, Raul and Kate have a thing to say about that.
So online courses, they've promised a revolution in learning, right? Mm-hmm. I guess the question is, how would you say this area has both delivered on that promise and maybe fallen short?
Well, you know, the idea of online courses is just the idea of online learning is great, right? It should be about being able to get access to a degree program in a shorter amount of time and still have the same level of credibility that a regular degree would. Here's the thing. Forget about online courses and really think about education as a whole. Education needs to be disrupted. We have some major problems with education. You will look right now that, you know, students are going into university, they're leaving with tons of debt, their outcome is supposed to be a great job, and it's really not as it's not going that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at India, for example, and there was 1.5 million engineers produced last year. And so, you know, 1.5 million engineers produced, most of these people end up with large-scale debt, and then they're forced to kind of go out and get some sort of basic job, right? Mm-hmm. And they're being exported to different countries. So we have a serious problem in education. What has to happen is online, first of all, it needs to be taken seriously, both from an institution standpoint and from, you know, parents and government. They need to look at online as a vehicle to get more people educated, right? Secondly, we need to change the programs completely. I mean, this notion of a four-year bachelor's degree program, I mean, it's total crap. I mean, we have to completely blow it away. If you can go to an accelerator, if you can go to a Microsoft Ventures Accelerator and spend 4 to 6 months there and learn more in 4 to 6 months than you can in a four-year degree program, there's something wrong, right? We need to fix it.
Thanks for that. That's awesome. And so our next project is kind of more in the realm of creativity, maybe you might say.
I love this idea.
Yeah.
I would call this the most useful app ever needed for goal laws.
Okay.
This is the greatest
that
thing
is,
ever.
That is impressive.
I love it. It's called the team's from Bahrain, Team Butterfly, and they made a nail polish mixer. And it's exactly what the app says it is. So they created this box, and they have their computer connected to it, and you pick any color from your software, you pick a color, and it, like, the liquid comes out, and it's nail polish. You are creating nail polish.
So it mixes the different colors it has in the device to actually produce the exact color you asked for.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't have to go to the store and buy nail polish. I can make it at home.
And you can use it to match whatever you want to and so forth. And so it's both a hardware project, like the actual mixing and proportions and so forth, and the software to control the device as well. That's really cool.
I like it when it's all one package.
Yeah,
software, all that good stuff.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, I read in their project description that you don't just pick the color, you can also pick matte, gloss, or glitter, which is off the hook. That's completely cool.
That's creative.
Yep, that's very cool. Awesome hardware, software solution, cool stuff.
Very good.
Let's move on. In our last group of projects for World Finals, we're here. We have three very different projects in the areas of home, fitness, and music. And so first off, Team IJ developers from Cyprus and their project Ladybug, which is both a device and a kind of a cloud solution and some apps. That let you monitor electricity usage all over your home. So you can keep track of, you know, like how much power these things are using and realize, like, that lamp has got to go, which is pretty cool
Nice, very cool. Second up, we have Team Tep from Hungary. And Tep, if you can see, is like Pet, but backwards.
Mind blown.
No, it's actually really clever.
Wow.
And this app, I think, is hilarious. It's, you have like a little pet on your phone, and it will die if you don't work out. So if that's not motivation for you to work out, I don't know what is.
That is awesome.
I love it though. I would totally download that.
I would love like a tiny virtual goal NAS on my phone.
Oh, and if you don't run or...
And then if I don't run or something, she's like, John, I'm going to die!
I'm dying in your phone! Save me, John. Run that mile.
You would be dead so fast. Be so sad. I'm so sorry, Colnaz. I have to have a burger.
As he's shoving popcorn in a burger.
That's right.
His phone.
Exactly.
All right. Cool.
And finally, our very last team for this show is Team Clavision from Canada, and they've done a really cool project for music transcription. So you're playing at a piano, making up a song, and it turns your playing into sheet music that anybody else can play. And it does it by actually you stick like a webcam like over your piano, and it reads the keys and sees how long you're pressing them and turns that into sheet music,
That's crazy.
That is an awesome app.
That's an awesome app. Okay,
that is cool.
Very cool.
And you know, this fitness stuff with Team Tep here actually reminds us that Kate and Raul have a few words to say on the subject of the human body and technology.
Let's check it out.
Fitness and nutrition, big themes within technology. Where do you see the intersection of the human body and technology going?
I definitely see wearable devices as a big play, but I also see there's a big problem because there's so many wearables out there, and most of them are going into hibernation, meaning, you know, you end up buying a device, you wear it on your wrist for a while, you love it for about a month, and then you lose it, right?
Yep, guilty.
Yeah. And we're all guilty of that one. But I see it becoming sort of more seamless, and it has to be about motivating you or being proactive in your life. You know, we're seeing some interesting companies emerge where they actually have a back-end service with it, where they have coaches that call you and say, like, why aren't you wearing your device, or, you know, go run the stairs or do that sort of thing. And that is pretty interesting. So you're basically taking a bit of the human element and combining it with tech, and then combining it with some sort of wearable device, and I see that's the intersection.
Wow. That was a lot of teams, a lot of categories. Very useful, though.
Yep.
A lot of content, but
very cool.
I'm very glad I found out who's coming to Washington.
That's right. They're going to be right here. We're going to have about 34 teams, roughly, who are all going to come to Seattle at the end of July. If you're one of those teams, by the way, who's coming here, congratulations.
Awesome.
And if you're one of our World Semifinals teams who didn't make it, still, you made it so far, and you won in your country, and congratulations to you as well. Because you folks, we had 171 projects in World Semifinals from 76 countries around the world. And I tell you, our judges had a very hard time picking the ones to bring to Seattle because you folks made some amazing projects. Congratulations,
so
guys.
Awesome job for getting this far.
Absolutely.
It's going to be fun here in Seattle.
Yep. And we'll be back soon with more information as we count down the road to Magic Cup 2014 World Finals.
Yes!
See you next time.
Bye.